does it mean to be innovative? Do you think that it's important to have innovation as far as being a good quality leader? We're going to look and see what Jesus says about that in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Stick around. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, folks. Welcome back to our Wednesday evening Bible study. I'm Roy Carter, pastor of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you have chosen to be with us this evening. A moment ago, I asked you if you felt like it was important or prudent for good leaders to be innovative. We're going to look at our passages today that come out of the book of Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. This is one of my favorite stories that has so much that we can glean as Christians. Read with me, if you would, Luke chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little further from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" Verse 5, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and to help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought the boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we thank you so much for the fact that you are in our lives, that you are there, that you are present. And Father, for each and everything that we do, we know that you will give us direction. Help us, Father, to seek you. Help us, Lord, to be truly innovative in the ways in which we share the gospel with folks, Lord, on an individual basis as well as a corporate basis. Lord, help us to take a tip from Jesus from this particular passage today. Lord, tonight I ask that you would be with us. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, help us to clear our hearts, and Lord, clear the distractions around us that we might truly be able to hear from you this evening. As though we pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you saw Jesus do something in this particular passage that was particularly innovative for the time. Now, in our story, there was this great multitude that had pressed about Jesus. And I like how the scripture said it, pressed about it. There were so many folks that they were really close, shoulder to shoulder. They were definitely violating COVID rules. And there were a lot of reasons for that. You have to remember that back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have PA systems. They didn't have all of the technology that we have to be able to get the word out. We also know where he was around a body of water. There were a lot of things that were going on around that truly could be distractions when it came down to being able to hear the word of God. Now, the thing about that is, without the PA systems, everybody tried to get as close as they could to Jesus. So the story tells us this great multitude pressed about him to hear him do something. They were there to hear him teach the word of God. Now, he did something very innovative over there in verse 3. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat." So for Jesus to get a little bit better projection, as it were, not that he couldn't because he was Jesus anyway, but he got into that boat and he had to push out a little bit further. In other words, that became his stage. That became his platform by which he could preach so that, people could be able to hear him a little bit better. That was an innovative move. I mentioned a moment ago that he didn't have a PA system back then. You have to think about over the years the innovations that have come for us to be able to not only preach the word of God, but to be able to disseminate it in many places. Think about right now. You're watching this broadcast on technology. That was an innovation that somebody came up with. I believe with all my heart, Jesus wants us to be innovative, to use the things around us, to have the opportunity to be able to preach the word of God, not only in our personal lives, but also corporately as the church. So when we think about that, why is it that oftentimes we are resistant to be innovative for the sake of the gospel? Now, we'll be innovative in so many other things. We'll be innovative in our jobs. We'll be innovative in our families. Obviously, you're not driving the same car that you got when you were 16 years old, you know. And when you did get a new one, you didn't get, you know, the model from yesteryear. You know, for some reason, we love innovations with everything except when it comes down to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and disseminating the gospel. So, yeah, think about this for a moment. What are some of the ways that we can be more innovative in sharing Christ with other people? I mean, this is something that I believe is important. Jesus was this way when it came down to getting the gospel out. Now, in verse 4 tells us that after Jesus had finished speaking, he asked Simon Peter to do something. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, we know from the scripture that we just read what had taken place, that Peter and the guys had been out fishing all night. The word tells us they had caught nothing. They had been out there toiling, laboring. They had come in. They had decided, you know, we're not catching any fish. Yeah, we're calling it quits. They come out, and there was more work to be done. They had to hang the nets up to dry them out. They would mend those nets. Good chance that they were probably working on calling it a day, getting everything ready for the next day. And then Jesus asked them to do something completely off of the record of what Peter or the others may have wanted to do. Yeah, he said, what I want you to do, I want you to launch out a little bit further. So this was a boat that he was standing in where he was preaching the gospel. So when he got done, he didn't say, well, let's go back to the shore. He said, now put out a little bit further. You know? And Peter is probably thinking, you know, in his mind, why? What for? We've already done this. It's been not only a long evening of fishing. Now all of a sudden you're wanting me to go out again. Notice what it says in verse 5. This was Simon's answer. It says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, there's something interesting in that regard. Peter did express his opinion in that. Peter said, we've already fished all night. But if you want me to do that, I'll be more than happy. We'll push out a little bit further and we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't really believe in my heart of hearts that Simon was looking to have a very successful cast when he pushed out after he followed the words of Christ. Now, I've said that this is one of my favorite passages because there are so many lessons that we can learn from this particular passage. You know, when they went out, Jesus said, I want you to push out a little bit further. I've often wondered about that. You know, when you think about it, particularly when it comes down to fishing in the sea, out in the deep is where the big fish are. Now, I know there are a lot of folks that will say, oh, yeah, we fish the banks if you're bass fishing, if you're lake fishing or what have you. But the big fish are out in the deep. And I think that this was not only something that was innovative, but Jesus wanted Simon Peter and the others to learn a valuable lesson. And one of the valuable lessons is that the deep water is where the fish are. Too many times what happens is we find ourselves standing around shin deep in water, acting like that we're out in the deep. Folks, out in the deep is where it's dangerous. Out in the deep is where you die without Jesus. Out in the deep is where you don't have control. And Jesus was telling Simon Peter, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to have to be able to step in for you to see something great happen. Folks, let me ask you, are you fishing in the deep? Or are you standing there ankle deep in water acting like you're doing something incredible for God? The Lord is telling us, get out in the deep water. That's where the fish are. That's where you have to have me. And then, you know, we see in also in that verse 4 that Peter obeyed Jesus' request even though he didn't understand it. Now, folks, there are going to be times in our lives when Jesus is going to give us a request and we're not going to understand what it means. It's not going to sound logical to us. This is what happened with Peter. Simon Peter actually expressed to Jesus, he said, "We've already done this. Well, we've already been fishing, but if that's what you want me to do, that's what we'll do." He didn't understand why he was going to be pushing out into the water. Wasn't even thinking that Jesus could do something incredible in his life and in the lives of others, much less teach them a very, very valuable lesson about who he was. And that's what he wanted to do. Now, we have to think in verses 6 and 7 about what the results of the fisherman's obedience to Jesus' request was. Verse 6 says this. It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Now remember, these are the guys that had been out. They have fished all night. They have caught nothing. It hasn't been a very successful trip. It wasn't like your typical average fishing trip that folks may take today, where we go out to fish for pleasure. This was pretty important. I mean, they would sell the fish. That was the way they made a living. They would have fish to be able to eat, so there were meals involved. So they weren't just out there pleasure fishing. They were out fishing for a reason. It's been a long night. They have caught nothing. Simon Peter said, "We have toiled all night and haven't caught anything." And now as Jesus has told them to launch out, they cast their nets, and an incredible thing happened. Those nets not only were full, those nets were so full, it says that they began to break. That was what size of a catch that they caught. And as they would pull that in, and as they would try to get those nets up over the boat, and as they did, the Word of God tells us that something else happened. It says that the nets were so full, there were two things that took place. Number one, the nets were starting to break because they was having a hard time with all the weight of the fish. And then number two, as they got them into the boat, it says it was so heavy that the boat was beginning to sink. Yeah, one of my questions is, as I look at this, is do you think that these disciples had ever had a catch like that before? I don't believe they did. I think that this was something that was so off the chart astronomical to them, particularly because it wasn't during the time when they were fishing. These guys were professional fishermen, and they felt like they had the answers and were doing the things that they should be doing to make the proper catch. And yet Jesus turned all that around after an unsuccessful night. Now they have probably, and in my heart of hearts, the largest catch that they had ever had. At any rate, it was one that was astronomical to them. So much so that even in the one cast, their nets were breaking, their boats were beginning to sink. One of the interesting parts is that as that was taking place, it says in the scripture, look at verse 7, it says, "So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them." I think this is a great, great scripture that we can all glean from. Jesus did something great and incredible for Simon Peter and for those that were there. We know that the nets were full. We know that there were so many fish that the boat began to sink, but they did something that I think is an example for us to follow. It says that they looked at the fishermen that were around them and called them over. "We need your help." It wasn't that they were just going to leverage them for help, but also that they were allowed to join in with that catch. I am sure that all those that came to help were beneficiaries of being able to have some of those fish. I'm thinking that their evening of fishing was probably much like Simon Peter's. They probably didn't have a whole lot of luck with the catch that evening. So folks, when it comes down to sharing the gospel message, I don't understand why it is that oftentimes churches seem to be in competition with one another. Folks, we're on the same team. You know, if something good is going on and we can utilize those that are around us, hey, call for help from the brothers and sisters in Christ. There is absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. That's what verse 7 says. It says so that they signaled those in the other boats, "Come and be a part." Folks, I love what Henry Blackaby in the Experiencing God series, and that's been around for probably close to 30 years, if not more. But one of the things that Henry Blackaby always said was, he said, it's about finding where God is working and going and joining him. Look around your life. Where is God working? Wherever that is, go join him. And here's a scripture that even speaks to that to bolster its effect. When Jesus did something great for Simon Peter, they called the others to come and be a part of that. Boy, what an example to follow. We can learn a lot about personal obedience as well from this passage, our personal obedience to Christ from these fishermen's experience. I'm sure that Simon was probably thinking, okay, Jesus, you're a teacher. I'm a fisherman. I've been doing this all my life. You know, I realize that now is not the time for us to go out and fish. It's over. We're supposed to wait. We're supposed to fish during these hours. Think about that for just a moment. Why is it that we feel like so many times that this is the way it has to be done? Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not hammering tradition. I think some tradition is very good. But I think that when we get caught in so much tradition that it keeps us from being obedient to what it is that Jesus has in store for us, then it becomes a problem. When we can't see past tradition to be obedient to what Christ has called us to do. And I see that often in the churches, not only in America, but often around the world. So here's an example that we can follow. Peter was sitting there saying, this is not the way we've done it. We've never done it this way before. But yet, he went on to say this. He said, nevertheless, at your request, I'm going to push out a little bit further. In other words, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow what it is that you have told me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Folks, I'm praying that each of us will be able to do that, to follow him, to be obedient to what he's called us to do and what he asks us to do, even when it makes no sense in our mind. Now, let me ask you this. Can you think of a time maybe in your life when you obeyed God's word or the Spirit's guidance in your life when you didn't understand it? I would be willing to say that if you have followed the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever, there have been times in your life when the Lord has given you some direction. You had no understanding as to why that was, but you were obedient. And when you did, what you found out was that God showed up in the midst of your circumstance. He showed up in the midst of your situation, and you never would have been able to have predicted what it was that Jesus was going to do in that circumstance. But folks, it takes obedience. You have to be obedient to be able to do that. What if Simon Peter would have said, no, look, I'm a professional fisherman. I know that this is not the time to go. I know this is not the right thing to do. So, you know, just forget it, Jesus. You're the teacher. You're the prophet. I am the fisherman. We're taking this boat back to the shore. See, sometimes I think we do that in our lives. We're not paying attention to what it is that God wants us to do. We're not paying attention to his leadership in our lives. And often it's easy for us to do that because we've never done it that way before. Remember what I said when I started off? I asked you about innovation. And if you felt like innovation was important, not only as a follower, but as a leader for Christ, I believe innovation is extremely important. Now, you know, let's go down and look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, and that was being the catch of fish and the fact that they had to call for help and the boat sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That was how Simon Peter responded to the miracle of the great catch. He understood at that point that it was something that Jesus had done that was miraculous. It wasn't something that they were able to do. They had already discovered that. They fished all night and caught nothing. And this was completely outside of the norm of how things should have happened when it comes down to fishing. So Simon Peter understands that it was a miracle of Christ that has taken place in that catch. And he begins to understand his position with Christ. And his response, verse 8, was, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He began to understand he was in the presence of Jesus. He was in the presence of perfection. He was in the presence of greatness. And he began to view himself, and he understood he was a sinful man. Folks, when we view our lives, are we in the presence of the Lord in his word and in prayer to the point that we, like Simon Peter, can look at ourselves and understand that we truly are sinners and that we're in the presence of greatness? I pray that we can. I think too many times we have this entitlement mindset and we're too busy functioning to actually view ourselves as Jesus views us. You know, why is it that you think that Simon Peter responded in that way? That's the reason why. Simply because he understood his sinful nature and sinful condition in the presence of the Almighty. Okay? Now, verse 10 tells us a little something else. Jesus says something to Simon Peter about his future. Now, that in verse 10, it says, and also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now, if you've ever grown up in church or been exposed in some ways, from the time that we were little children and vacation Bible school and Sunday school, all the way up, you know, we have heard this story. And how many times have we talked about being fishers of men? And that is what Jesus was telling Simon Peter. He said, you are a good fisherman, but you're not going to be catching the fish that swim in the water. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. How many times do we refer today as being out sharing the gospel, being a fisher of men? We're out to catch some fish. Now, so many times fishing, a lot of people have told me before, they say, well, I don't like fishing, I like catching. Well, yeah, I'm the same way as well. Sometimes you go out and you'll spend all evening or all day, and you won't catch a whole lot. You've had to make a lot of casts. You've gone through it, and your trip in your heart of hearts just wasn't that successful. You know, you didn't feel like it was. But boy, I tell you one thing, it sure makes for a great trip when it seems like every time you cast, you're catching something. And you're sitting there going, hey, look, I'll stay out here and fish all day when this is it. A lot of people say, again, I don't like fishing, I like catching. But Jesus told Simon Peter, and he tells you and I today, from now on, you will be fishers of men. You will go and catch men. Now, when he responded that way, what do you think that he meant? You know, a lot of times people would sit back and say, well, I really don't understand what he was talking about there. In other words, he was saying, I want you to take my message of salvation to the whole world. I want you to take my message of salvation to all that you will come in contact with. So just like catching fish, he says, I want you to go out there with the gospel message, because the gospel message is what the lure is. The gospel message is what attracts the fish. Folks, it's nothing that we do. It's not that we're good fishermen. There's nothing in and of ourselves that we have the power to be able to do. It is the power of the gospel message. It is the power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit that makes all of the difference in the world. It's just like that lure. When you're fishing and you cast it into the water, and you might be cranking that lure in, maybe it's a spinner bait, and you've seen those before. The little spinner will be spinning around and it'll catch light. Often they'll make a noise that will attract the fish, and the fish will go over and the fish will take it. It's not because of the way that you were reeling it in as you casted it. There was an attraction. That fish was attracted to that lure. And folks, as a born-again believer, as we go out, our job is to put the gospel message out. The gospel message is the lure that will attract people. We're to lift up our Savior so that he might draw all men unto him. There's nothing in and of ourselves that we have the power to do. Just like Simon Peter in this particular passage. It didn't have anything to do with Simon Peter when it came down to that catch. He knew that was at the hand of Jesus. It was a miracle at the hand of Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, in the same way that you just saw me do this with the fish, I want you to go out and I want you to be a fisher of men. And that, folks, is the same request, the same command that he gives you and I today. When we trust him, when we've asked him to come into our heart, when we're born again, saved, whatever term you may be using to think about what our personal relationship with the Lord is, he says, once you do that, my command is that you go out and you become fishers of men. So how much fishing have you been doing? Have we been fulfilling what it is that God has commanded us to do? Yeah, Jesus told Simon Peter in verse 10 something about his future. He said, you know, I don't want you to be catching these fish anymore like this. I want you to be catching men. I want you to go out with the gospel message. I want you to preach the gospel that I might draw all men unto me. You know, Jesus was telling Peter that he was still going to be fishing. It was just going to be a different kind of fishing. Now, down in verse 11, he goes on, he says this. It says, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They had just had the greatest catch of their lives. I believe that that they would probably say never before had there ever been a catch like that. Never before had they experienced something like that. So let me ask you this question. Having just experienced that, how hard do you think it was for them to leave everything to follow Jesus? I mentioned a moment ago that if you go out fishing and you're actually having a really good day and you're catching them, you start to lose track of time. You're sitting there saying, oh, this is great. I could stay out here all day. Then you're ready to go back out again. And if you continue to have that sort of success, you are ready to go out. Now, Jesus had just told them, I'm going to give you the greatest fishing experience you've ever had. Then I'm going to ask you to leave it. Would that be an easy thing to do? Yeah, most of those guys were probably thinking, hey, look, we get back to the shore, we get the nets fixed up, we run back out there again, let's keep on after it, because I know that the fish aren't always going to be there. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to just leave all this stuff here. I want you to follow me, because now I want you to be fishers of men. Do you think that that would have been hard to be obedient to Christ in that particular situation? I believe, personally, that it would be. Sometimes I don't think that failure can be a downfall to people. I think that success can be one of the greatest downfalls that people ever have as well, because we start to want to repeat what we've done that we've had success with in the past. And folks, I throughout my Bible reading and studying over the past, however many years, the one thing that I've realized is that Jesus doesn't always do things the same way. You know, we think if it worked last time, it's going to work this time. You know, for some odd reason, in church life, we think that it's all about the program. And folks, it's not about a program. It's about a relationship with Christ. You know, you can have programs galore, but I'm not saying anything against programming, but when programming becomes what we are rather than relationship being about what we are, then we have an issue. And I think too many times, we could be like the disciples could have easily been and say, nope, I'm coming back out tomorrow. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to fish again. And I'm looking for that same great catch that we had yesterday. And it's not going to happen. Yeah. I often think about the time that Moses was leading the Israelites under the direction of God. And God told him that first time when they didn't have water, he told him to strike the rock. And remember what happened? He struck the rock. It said water flowed from the rock. Well, they were in the same sort of situation a little bit later on and down the road. And Jesus, as Moses cried out to him, Jesus told Moses something different. He didn't say, I want you to do the same thing you did before. He said, this time I want you to speak to the rock. Did Moses listen? Was Moses obedient? No, he was not. He repeated the same act that he had repeated before. He struck the rock. Now, God honored Israel by providing water from that, but yet that was one of the situations that caused Moses not to be able to enter into the promised land, his disobedience. You know, folks, just because something worked this way before doesn't mean that that's the way that Jesus is going to have us do it again. We've got to pay attention. We can't be so adamant about things like tradition, or this is the way that we've always done it, that we miss what God is showing us, that we miss what God is directing us. Because you know what? He honored us when we struck the rock the first time, but maybe this next time he's asking us to speak to it instead of striking it. Are we listening? Are we being obedient to what it is that God is telling us to do? Yeah, I believe it would have been hard for the disciples at that particular point to leave everything that they had to follow Jesus. Let me ask you this today as a challenge. What personal sacrifices have you made to be a follower of Jesus? What are things that the Lord is asking you to do? I know that as we've gone through our this month of April and our prayer and fasting emphasis, I've asked you to fast. Fasting is sacrificing something that you like to make room for something that's better, to make room for Jesus to do something in your heart or your life. What personal sacrifices have you made to be a follower for Jesus? Just like he was asking these disciples, he told them, I want you to walk away from this. I want you to come with me. I want you to be one of my followers. I want you to be a disciple. Now remember, we've defined disciple in two ways. Yeah, to be a disciple means to be a follower of Christ. And often we say that means evangelism. We need to be evangelical. We need to see people come to know him. And that is true. But that's not all that being a disciple means. Being a follower of Christ means getting in His Word. It means getting on your knees in prayer. It means your life reflecting what the Word of God is. Are we truly being a disciple? And what personal sacrifices, notice that word personal, what personal sacrifices have you made to be a follower for Jesus and a follower of Jesus? In what ways are you becoming a better fisher of men? Now, I've said many, many times, I can put on the hat with all the lures on it. I can maybe wear some hip waders. I can really look the part. I can have my fishing pole in my hand. But folks, if I'm not out fishing, that doesn't make me a fisherman. I might look like one, but that doesn't make me a fisherman. So I want to ask you today, as the Lord looks at you, does he see you decked out in a bunch of fishing gear, but yet you never hit the water, you never cast, you never had the exhilarating experience of seeing one of the greatest catches of all time that God has allowed in your life? Have you ever led somebody to Jesus? Once you do, you'll want to do it again. Or have you allowed Satan in the world to back you down? Are you so busy that you don't have time for Jesus? I'm going to say something that's been said for years, but it still holds true today. Listen, if you don't have time for personal discipleship, if you don't have time to be in God's Word, if you don't have time to be able to spend in prayer, and if you don't have time to be able to reflect Jesus in the lives of the people that you come in contact, in that circle of influence that He has placed you in, folks, you are just way too busy, and your priorities are completely out of order. Jesus said, I want you to be a fisher of men. Have you done that? You know, I think today one of the things that we need to do is that we need to pray that we will have the faith to be able to obey the Lord even when we don't understand the things that He is asking us to do. Now, I've often said, too, we have to be careful. When Jesus asked us to do something, it will be backed up in His Word. It will be backed up in prayer. It will be backed up in wise counsel. So be very careful, because Satan likes to transform himself into an angel of light as well. That is the reason why your Bible study and your prayer life is even more important, because that's where God's going to verify what it is that He is asking you to do. You know, so today, and as we go through this week, let's pray that God will increase our faith and that He will help us to obey Him even when we don't understand exactly what's taking place and exactly what's going on. Will you join me as we do that? In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss us in a word of prayer, but I do want to go ahead and give you your scripture readings for this week. Once again, if you're just tuning in or you're new to our broadcast, I'll give you five passages of scripture for the week. We have a seven-day week. I'm only asking you to read one chapter. I'm saying don't read ahead. Just take the time to concentrate on that one chapter per day, and that even gives you a day or two to miss during the week. But read that one chapter a day and allow it to sink in. Allow the Lord to use it in your life. So our readings for this week will be Luke's Gospel chapter 7 through Luke's Gospel chapter 11. Now, once again, Luke chapter 7 through Luke 11. Those are your five passages for this week. Next week, we're going to be looking at passages out of Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27, the cost of discipleship. Now, remember what I said a minute ago? Jesus had just asked Simon to follow Him. He would make them fishers of men. He obeyed and He followed Him. But let me tell you this. Jesus always let us know there is a cost for discipleship. I want you to know that. We're going to look at that next week out of Luke 9, verses 23 through 27. Just a couple things I want to remind you of for this week. Our prayer and fasting emphasis on Thursdays this week, when you show up, is going to be, our emphasis is going to be renewing our commitment to the Great Commission. As always, I've asked you to make an appointment with the Lord here at the church. So the church will be open from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. It will also be open up from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So you've got a three-hour block, whether you're a morning person or an evening person, where you can come by the church, spend that time with Him. You'll be able to pick up some things to help you study through the week about how we can renew our commitment to the Great Commission. There'll be a deacon there that will hand you that. It's not designed for anybody to lead you through anything. This is quiet time for you to enter the sanctuary, to spend that time with the Lord. Once again, we've been asking you to fast at something either for that particular day or for the month or however the Lord has led you. For me, it is a food fast on the day on Thursday. For others, they're fasting social media for the day or the month, whatever it may be. But remember this, fasting is about taking something out of your life to allow the space for the Lord to do something even greater in your life, okay? And I trust and pray that you've been doing this and that you'll continue to do this, that it won't just end in the month of April, but it will be a good springboard for you to draw closer to the Lord as we go forward. Also, I want to remind folks that we are planning on having a fellowship golf tournament that's coming up on May the 1st. That's when it is. It's going to be held at Forest Oaks. We do have some of the forms that are here. If you can't pick one up off the table, if you still want to have a team, you can request a form. Just catch us by way of our website. Send me an email or give the church a call. We'll make sure that you get a form. This is a four-man captain's choice, $200 per team. There will be prizes, longest drive, closest to the pin. The deadline for this is this coming Sunday, April the 24th. So if you want to get a team, and even if you don't have a team, we've had some folks that say, well, you know what, I just don't have a team. Let us know. We'll try to create teams for those that we have that cannot fill a team. It's just designed for us to go out, to have a good time, to fellowship one with another. We hope that you can join us. We really look forward to that. I want to say before we dismiss in prayer, I really appreciate you taking this time to join us on Wednesday evenings. We look for you every Wednesday evening. And the final announcement is from our vote of this past Sunday to shift some finances into paying down the principal of our loan, that passed. So that those monies will be paid toward the principal of our note, and our finance team will continue to work on a way that we can be able to retire the debt. Folks, you've done a fantastic job over the past decade, and the end is in sight. Prayerfully, with some adjustments, we will be 5 years or less out and being able to pay off our notes. So consider giving a gift to our building program. Don't take away from your tithe, but at any rate, God is definitely doing some great and some incredible things, and there'll be some great things on the horizon. Will you pray with me this evening? Father, as we come to you, we thank you so much for your leadership, for your guidance. We thank you, Father, for innovation. We thank you for the fact that you don't always just have us in some sort of a rut, but you're calling us out of that rut to be something great and incredible for you. Lord, you have charged us, just like you did Simon Peter, to be a fisher of men. Help us, Father, to truly be about your business. We need to get on with it because we know that the time draweth nigh. Your word tells us that we work during the day because there's a time coming, nights coming, when no man will have the opportunity to work. And Father, I believe that we're so, so close to you either calling us out through the rapture, Lord, or taking us away from here through death's door. So help us to be faithful that when we stand in your presence, we could truly hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I pray that you will help strengthen our faith and give us the courage to obey you at whatever you tell us to do, and particularly when we don't understand it. Father, bless each and every person who is tuned into this broadcast. May you do something just so incredible in their lives that they will know that it's been by your hand that they have been blessed. So, Father, watch over us till we can come back and be together once again, one with another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday.